Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
ESPN College Football and SEC Network analyst Cole Kubelik, nice enough to join us on the UMA guest line here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks Show. Cole, we always appreciate the time. How you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing great, guys. I hope everything is going well with you.
Yeah, everything is great. Getting back to normal. We got sports happening, so we're feeling good. I'm curious, where were you on the Niner quarterback? Who should they take? Who should they not take? Did you have one opinion strong one way or another on it?
I thought it was going to be Mac Jones, to be honest with you, because when you look at Shanahan's system, there was a lot of it that sort of mirrored what Kyle Flood did, with Steve Sarkisian. Kyle Flood, the offensive line coach, helped out with it, did at Alabama last year. You know, that was a motion-based offense that used multiple tight ends and actually utilized some heavy play action. And when I say play action, I sort of emphasize that because I mean not RPO, which basically is what, and 90% of college football is doing right now, but your traditional play action where you turn your back to the defense, your rollouts, your half rolls, your bootlegs, those were a part of what you got in that Alabama offense last year, and Mac Jones flourished in that. And I also think that there are a lot of what I saw in that offense that would be very applicable to what he would have been asked to run in San Francisco. The Trey Lance pick, if you're going to keep Jimmy on the roster, makes a little bit more sense. If you were going to make that move and you knew you were going to move him off and bring Trey Lance in and just start building the offense with him right now, I may have had a few more concerns about that. I do think that there's still a part of Trey Lance that is a bit of an unknown. I think that's one thing with the draft that so many people are just afraid to say, right? We're all afraid to say, I don't know, man. Trey Lance played a one-off exhibition game this year. And I've done a lot of FCS stuff this year. I've covered some North Dakota State games in the past. Like, I saw Easton Stick work that offense, and he looked like he could play in the NFL. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, based on what I've seen and what I know, that I believe Trey Lance is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I think it's a long shot. I think the tools are there. The gifts are definitely there. But it's going to take a little bit of time for him to just be the guy and be able to go out there and manage an NFL offense, in my opinion.
And so I want to ask you one last Mac Jones question, and I'll get off of it. And I've asked this to people whose opinion I genuinely value, and you're on that list. Was Mac Jones' success, was it because Mac Jones got better after sitting behind Tua and Hurts, or was Jones' success a product of all that he had in front and next to him at the wide receiver spot?
Well, it's impossible to say that it had nothing to do with the back end of what you asked, but we could also say that about Tua with Judy and Ruggs, and he had Najee and a great offensive line, and he had a first-round tight end that's playing in Minnesota. And we could also say that about Joe Burrow in 19. We could say it about Kyle Trask this year with, you know, Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney and those guys. I mean, a lot of great quarterbacks have a lot of great weapons. I mean, I think we'd probably have to go back to, like, Josh Allen to see a guy that really ripped it up but just didn't have many guys around him at Wyoming. But I do think he got better because, I mean, you think about that quarterback room. Jalen Hurts was there when he got there. Then he watched Tua come in and kind of pass him and take that job. Right. And then what happens next? Oh, here comes the number one overall high school recruit from Southern California, Bryce Young, that a lot of people just thought, oh, no, he's taking Mac's job. Like, this guy's got more talent, more skill, more ability. He's faster. He's more quick twitch. He's got a livelier arm. There's no way Mac Jones is a starter. Well, Tua gets hurt. He goes out, plays a great Auburn defense, throws a couple picks, loses, beats a pretty good Michigan team. And he had to fight for that job. That wasn't given to him. And maybe I have the benefit because – I've sat down with Coach Saban, and I've heard the stories about him on the scout team and how competitive he is. I've talked to David Morris, his quarterback coach, down in Mobile about how he prepares for each individual opponent. And I talked to Steve Sarkisian just about his brain and how he operates and the things that he sees and how he knows what to do. So I've heard all that. I've talked to those guys about all that, and that builds my confidence in what I think Mac Jones could be at the next level.
Gotcha. Cole, Niners, you know, are a great offense for running backs. There's just no doubt about that. Kyle Shanahan likes to use a bunch of them, and I think they got a couple good ones in Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell. Mitchell ran in the 4.3s. Sermon had a 300-yard day late in the season. What do you think of those two picks?
And Trey Sermon is – I don't know. I don't know what you don't like. You know, he's a guy that everybody thought Master Teague was going to be the dude at Ohio State last year, and he was solid. He was good. But they needed to be more explosive, and then for whatever reason, it took a while for Trey to bust into the lineup, and then all of a sudden, late in the year, he showed you why he probably should have been the guy all year. I think he gives you a bigger body, a physical body, with a great north and south burst that still has breakaway ability, explosive play ability. And I'm going to tell you, I've watched a lot of Louisiana football the last few years. I've covered a couple of their games. The thing with Elijah that you're going to get is he always shared the backfield, and that's not his fault. It's not because he wasn't good, he wasn't great, but they've had two or three very capable running backs along with a mobile quarterback that they've designed runs for the last few years. So I think the real positive there might be you get a little bit of a change-up back, somebody who's maybe a little more shifty, a little more twitchy, and you get somebody who might not have quite as much tread on the tires because, or as somebody who had been in college football as long as him normally had, because it wasn't just a let's feed this young man and see how long he can take a beating until we have to throw the next guy in. Can catch the ball out of the backfield well, not afraid to help in pass protection, because if you're going to play for Billy Napier in that system, that's what you're going to have to do. And they all do it well, and they have a nice scheme. I mean, it's kind of a similar scheme. You know, they build it off the stretch play. They run a lot of outside zone. They run counter power. And so a lot of that is have patience, put your foot in the ground, get north and south, and then be able to work off play action, come back across the field, work the screen game. A lot of the things San Francisco is going to ask him to do, he's been doing that in college, and it will be very familiar.
Boy, Alabama's, I mean, the last couple of years, Judy, Ruggs, Waddle, Smith. You know, Waddle was the guy that always jumped out to me, Cole. Like, when I watched him play, he was just different than everybody else. And they were all good. Some of them were fast. You know, Judy, the great route runner, and Smith had the Heisman. Yeah, I mean, he was incredible. But Waddle was the guy that you just watched him, and it's hard to take your eyes off of him when you watched him play. What could keep him from being a stud at the next level?
I mean, I think health is the only thing, really. And the beauty with him is, you know, my only problem with a couple of those guys towards the top of this draft was I felt it's not that position. So you can't say the receiver position, but that type of player at that position this year was a little bit crowded. And I think they had their micro differences. Like Kadarius Toney is absolutely the shiftiest of all of them. I mean, if you're talking about change of direction, I mean, you're going to have to go back. I mean, you're talking Tyreek Hill. You're going to have to go back and talk Dante Hall. Like, I'm talking elite change of direction, especially east and west for Kadarius Toney. Devonta Smith, I felt like, was the most smooth of those guys, probably the best at working all three levels as a wide receiver. But as we know, the stature is not necessarily what a lot of teams really like or really want. I think really the steal of the draft is in the second round with Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss, because I don't think you lose a bunch of size, and he's every bit of any of the other guys. He's every bit of Waddle. He's every bit of Smith. He's every bit of Toney. He can do it all. They lined him up in the backfield, the slot. They lined him up out wide. He took the top off. He took screens and created explosive plays. He'll work the middle of the field. Like, he does everything, but he played at Ole Miss. So not a lot of people talked to him, and he opted out. So maybe some people don't like that. But I know what kind of a worker he is. And whether it was a fire hydrant deal in the Egg Bowl 2 years ago, that shouldn't be enough for you to say this kid can't come in and help our franchise. The thing with Jalen Waddle is he'll help you in a lot of different ways. He can help you on special teams. He can be a screen guy. He can work downfield. He's not afraid of contact. And I think when you're talking about just getting north and south, after the ball is in his hands, he probably has a little bit more juice than the other guys. If we're separating him from that pack of, let's just say, smaller receivers mm-hmm. in this draft. Then you had a Rondale Moore. Then you had a Tutu Atwell. It was very crowded with that kind of a guy. If it were me, and that's what I was looking for, I would have tried to trade down, maybe find an Elijah Moore, a Tutu Atwell, and then have another pick to go with that to help my football team.
You know, it's interesting. We won't know for years who had the best draft and that kind of thing, but I thought Carolina did well. I mean, J.C. Horn, Terrace Marshall, Tommy Tremble, Chuba Hubbard. They got the Iowa kid Nixon, Keith Taylor, Shee Smith out of South Carolina. I mean, I loved their draft, and I love Kansas City's draft. Nick Bolton, the tackling machine out of Missouri, and they got Trey Smith, who's a dominating guard out of Tennessee, and they got him in the sixth round. They got Creed Humphrey. Who'd you think was a big winner on draft day? I know we got a lot of football to be played, but what draft did you like?
Kudos to you, because I haven't heard another person say that they love Kansas City's draft or that was their favorite draft. And I feel like they pulled a legitimate Danny Ocean. Like, they went Ocean's 11 on the draft, in my opinion. They walked into the casino, they went down to the vault and literally took the money right out of the front door. Trey Smith has first-round film out there. It's out there. Not last year. It was a little down last year, but, I mean, this was a guy 2 years ago that had two full pad practices before the season. And then we know what COVID was this year and how strange that whole deal was. And then, obviously, you know, him not being able to practice full speed during the week. But he will start for Kansas City, I think, by the end of this year. And I think he'll be a longtime starter in that uniform. Creed Humphrey, plug and play. He's going to help him right now. Joshua Kando is a guy that's got a lot of twitch and a lot of explosiveness off the edge. Even if he's just a third down specialist, I think he could help the Kansas City pass rush. And then you talk about Nick Bolton. I think you could make a legitimate argument that Nick Bolton was the best defensive player in this draft. Now, the measurables are not what Micah Parsons was. I get that. I understand that. But if you just talk about what you see when they're on the field, there's not a lot of guys on that side of the ball that affected things as often in the way that Nick Bolton did for Missouri last year. And they were different when he got banged up late in the year and wasn't on the field. So I think he's plug and play at linebacker, and I think he's going to be great in the NFL. I thought the Chiefs had a fantastic draft. I'm with you. I like Carolina's draft. J.C. Horn gives you different size at the cornerback position, and he is super competitive, man. You talk to T-Rob or Will Muschamp about him, and they will tell you that that's a guy that came to them every week and said, I want to be on the number one receiver. I want to go up against their number one guy. And Tommy Tremble is an absolute maniac, demolition. He's like wrecking ball in a football uniform. Like, he might not carry the ball or catch the ball a whole lot at H-back, fullback, tight end, whatever. He's a little bit leaner than your normal tight end build. But I know one thing that he will do is he will put his face mask in your chest and try to knock your ass off. Like, that's Tommy Tremble. I love that guy. And I think the Panthers had a pretty good draft.
What are your thoughts? A lot of people have been talking about Tebow coming back. And what are your thoughts? You've been in a locker room before. How does that affect the locker room? We don't even know if he's going to make the team. But what does that say? Does it say anything? Do you think guys care that much?
I think they care to an extent. I mean, I still think that everybody's individual goal is to make that 53. And if, you know, they'll care if they feel like it's getting in the way of that. I just don't see how, guys. I don't. And I commend him for trying. I commend him for having the network to be able to get the invitation and potentially get a contract. Mm-hmm. If he gets it, great. So be it. You know, my dad, when I was a kid, used to always tell me networking, networking, networking. And it was the most annoying thing he ever said. I hated him for it. And now I kind of realized later in life, like, yeah, that kind of makes the world go round. Like, that's like the most important thing. And I think this is a perfect example of that, because I don't know if there's any other coaches that are calling him saying, yeah, let's give you a shot at tight end, man. I just think that we diminish – you guys don't because you know it, but a lot of people are diminishing how valuable one of those 53 spots are and all the other things that you're going to have to do. It's not that – he's going to be able to get away with being average at catching the ball or not being able to block. Like, can you cover punts? Can you cover kickoffs? Can you block on extra point field goal? Can you hold on extra point field goal? Can you cover punts? Can you be on punt return? Like, what? Where are you going to bring the amount of value required for someone who's not starting or legitimately competing for a starting job on my football team? And I just don't think he's legitimately going to compete for a starting job on that football team. So, hey, if any of us had the chance to go play pro sports, right? Like, you guys probably love your job. I love my job. I love calling games on Saturday night. I love being on the radio on Jocks in Birmingham every day. But if somebody said, hey, we think you could come play minor league baseball for us, or we think you could be our goalie on our soccer team, like, in a professional sport, I'm out of here. Let's go. I would love to do it right now. So my body's not going to allow me to do that. So I commend him for doing it. I'm not mad at him for doing it like other people are, but I just do not see how being a part of the 53 is going to be feasible. And if it is somewhat of a publicity stunt or jersey sales or anything like that, I just have to ask the question, why? You're a franchise in the National Football League, and you're telling me that selling 10,000 jerseys is going to make that much? Mr. Khan is worth $8 billion with a B. $1 billion. And we're talking about a couple hundred thousand dollars in jersey sales or some preseason game tickets? Come on. The NFL doesn't need a circus. They don't need a sideshow. They don't need the add-ons. You know, this is not minor. This is not the Trash Pandas in North Alabama where they're getting John Rocker to come out there and throw out the first pitch or whatever. Like, you don't have to have that. So I don't see how it's going to be feasible.
It's still the Jacksonville Jaguars, though. That's the thing. You're right. It is one of 32 very valuable. But it's the Jaguars, man.
Hey, if you're going to pay your head coach $15 million or whatever it is and let him run the show, well, then, by God, I guess you let him run the show.
And that's exactly what he's doing. We're talking to Cole Kubelik, ESPN college football and SEC Network college football analyst. And, yeah, you can hear him on WJOX down there in Alabama. Here's the tight end position that Tim Tebow is going to try and be a part of right now. Kyle Pitts is going to be that new dude at tight end. And Tim Tebow is going to try and play that position, which, quite frankly, since the last time Tim Tebow played professional football, the tight end position has changed to where Kyle Pitts is going to be that dude starting next year for the Falcons.
You guys realize how hard it is to block people and to like learn how to block people? Like, I played center in college for 5 years. And I still wasn't really that great at blocking people. I mean, I tried hard. You know, I got in the way. You know, I used some tactics that I learned along the way. But
you networked when you were doing it. That's what happened.
Yeah, you networked.
Trust me, I've got there in warm-ups talking to the officials every day. Like, hey, make sure you look the other way. Don't look at me. So, I mean, this was, blocking people is a hard, hard job. Why a lot of people don't want to do it, including tight ends, by the way. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be a part of it. H-back, fullback, tight end, whatever it is, it's going to have to be a part of what he's doing. And you don't learn that in a couple of months or even – I mean, I could take you guys out there for the next 6 months, and we could go T-board left, T-board right, go through the chutes, push the sled, work your steps, work your pass sets, and you guys aren't going to be able to block anybody because the only way – and I will say this until I die. The only way to be great at blocking someone is to do it against somebody full speed who's trying to make you look bad. It's the only way to learn how to do it. And that's why the development of that position, including fullback, H-back, tight end, and offensive line, is because we keep getting away from these full pad practices or these practices in shells, and that's the only way to develop it. That's the only way to get good at it. So the further we get from those kind of practices and the more we remove those kind of practices, the harder it's going to be to develop those positions and those and be good at that practice. So they've already taken a bunch of them away. And I doubt that an NFL franchise is going to waste a bunch of time teaching the dude how to cover a punt as limited as practice time is going to be before a season starts. So it'll be an interesting watch, but I have a hard time believing that we're going to be watching him running around on Sundays this fall.
I gotta question the wisdom of the whole thing. I mean, what's the upside? And when people say, well, there's no downside, well, you know, there is a downside. because every guy in that room knows when there's a guy who doesn't deserve to be in the room and is getting a shot and that he doesn't deserve. And Tebow's getting a shot he doesn't deserve, and it's just a matter of, is there a guy in the room going to call it out? Maybe, maybe not. Hey, let me ask you about Austin Watkins. I get ridiculed because I'm the undrafted free agent guy, but I think the Niners hit on a couple of these undrafted free agents. They got Elijah Sullivan out of K-State. He was a great linebacker, a little undersized. They got Hilliard out of Ohio State, and he was terrific. I mean, you could argue Hilliard was better than Browning in the national championship game. And then they get Austin Watkins, a receiver out of UAB, and they lost Bourne to the Pats in free agency. A lot of people think Watkins has a decent shot at that job this summer. What do you think of those undrafted guys?
Yeah, I'm just going to go to Watkins because I'm going to tell you what you're going to get for folks that didn't want to watch a lot of UAB football is dynamic, big-time ability when it comes to stretching the field. As far as getting on top of the defense, forcing your safeties to play you deep. I mean, he is that guy. He is that dude that can just run past almost anybody out there. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch because you got a couple guys on that roster that I have a lot of confidence in at receiver that we haven't been able to watch them be healthy a whole lot. You know, I mean, like we haven't seen that Jalen Hurd experience and what it might end up being. You've had a couple other guys that have been nicked up that I think could contribute and could be solid, but he is someone that, and I always tell people, like, if you're going to, everybody said, why would the Raiders draft Henry Ruggs as early as they did with all these other receivers? And my response last year was, you get the dude that's different, and none of them ran the way that Henry Ruggs did. So if they're all close, you take the one guy that has something that the others don't. And I think Austin Watkins, even though he's an undrafted free agent, brings a little bit of that. There won't be a lot of guys that can run like he can. And he's got legit ball skills. I mean, he's got really good hands. He's a good route runner. He's just a little bit undersized. And with the way that that offense runs the football and the way that they utilize some motion and some of the things pre-snap that can get you misaligned, with somebody that has that kind of speed, there's an opportunity that he could get on the field and really help them do some things back over the top of the safeties.
I got to ask you, this is a story that I saw a few months ago. USF is going with the Twitter handles on there. UCF, excuse me, not USF, UCF. Going with the Twitter handles on the back of their names. is this way for the future, or is this a one-off?
I think they just did it that time for the spring game.
Just for the spring game?
I think we're going to see some things like this somehow, some way, because Gus has gone down there and Gus Malzahn, their head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is completely opening his arms to name, image, likeness. And I think there are a couple directions he's going with it that make a lot of sense. I mean, they've got 63,000 students at Central Florida. And then I think they have the youngest alumni base, like the largest alumni base under 30 or 35 in the country. So he knows that a lot of the fans, a lot of the supporters are going to be on social media. That might be a way that he could help generate a few extra dollars to some of his players when name, image, and likeness hits. And I also think it's good to just say, hey, we're going to help you push your brand. Yeah. Even if you don't make a ton of money here, take that Twitter handle with you the rest of your life. And if that helps you do something else later on, then that's great. And we helped you do that. So that's a perfect fit for him because he doesn't have to worry about, you know, which big booster's telling him which coordinator to hire or which guy to play or they need to go change this or he's the only guy he can hire is this guy or this is your D coordinator, take it or leave it. Like, he can do things exactly the way that he wants to do. And there's always going to be a little bit of high school coaching Gus Malzahn, and he's okay with that, and he likes that because that's how he came up. And I think this is a really good fit for him to be able to be at Central Florida where things are a little bit more loose, things are more fun, they're playing in the bounce house, you got the Disney World connection down there, and you got this really young alumni base that is going to think things like that are cool and things like that are fun. And he's getting some really good transfers. He's got Big Cat Bryant, played D-line at Auburn. Nate Craig Myers, that was at Auburn and then went to Colorado State, a really nice receiver. They got another big-time receiver from, I think, Ohio State today, like a five-star kid that's going to go down there and play for him. And Dylan Gabriel's back at quarterback. So watch out for UCF this year, man. They might be a scary team when it's all said and done.
So you don't think we'll ever see at Big Dog 1 on the back of a Bama jersey?
Not there. That won't be the one. No.
They're still trying to come to grips with putting names on the back of jerseys. So let's let's maybe slow down there. ESPN and SEC Network analyst Cole Kubelik, man, we always appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's try and do it as much as we possibly can here as we get closer to more football. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Yes, sir, brother.
Thank you, Cole.
You make it fun. Make sure you follow Cole on Twitter at Cole Kubelik. All right, here's what's coming up. John Clayton, the professor, joins us at 3 o'clock. We will have another edition of Steph Curry Appreciation Time, and it looks like the A's have reached the threaten to leave town if we don't get what we want stage of their stadium saga. Yeah, that news just breaking a little while ago. We'll get into that shortly here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks Show.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.